Today's program is brought to you by Myriad Restaurant Group. For more information, visit myriadrestaurantgroup.com.
I'm Damon Bolte, host of The Speakeasy. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to Native on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Brianna Kurtz. Each week, this show features a U.S. or international location and uses food and drink as a gateway to explore and celebrate the cuisine and culture of a destination. This week, I am happy to welcome Danielle Chang, founder of Lucky Rice, to discuss Asian food culture and cuisine. So welcome, Danielle. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you. It's so great to be here, Brianna.
So I just want to start off, for anyone who is unfamiliar with Lucky Rice, which is probably not that likely, but just in case, can you tell me a little bit about the operations of Lucky Rice? What is it that you do?
Sure. I mean, our missions are actually really similar to what you do here at Native, which is to bring alive food culture, really just culture in general, through the lens of food. And we focus on Asia, the entire diaspora.
And where did this idea come from? What was the genesis of wanting to launch this about? You've been around for 5 years now?
This is our sixth year. Yes. And it's, you know, it's kind of a collision of a lot of really many things, the interest in food, interest in Asian culture, interest in Asian food, exploration of new flavors, and really wanting to create a platform to bring together all these chefs and communities that are interested in this collision.
Did you find that in the beginning that there was a space for this that you felt was underserved and you really just wanted to kind of slip in there and fill that in and bring more people into Asian culture and cuisine?
Absolutely. I mean, I think Asian cuisine, you know, especially Chinese, Japanese, say Thai, have been popular in the U.S. for so many years. But beyond that, there's very little understanding of other cuisines that this has all changed in recent times. And even within Chinese cuisine, for instance, there's so many misconceptions, and really wanted to shed a light and put a spotlight on a lot of Asian culture and the stories behind these foods.
And how have you seen in this past 5-6 years, how have you seen things grow?
It's remarkable. I think in many ways, clearly, our interest in Asian food has grown. And, you know, it's way beyond Chinese takeout. It's way beyond, you know, California rolls. We are now exploring Northern Thai food. We're making our own kimchi. You know, we're embracing funky fermented flavors. And, you know, the idea of authenticity is no longer that relevant either. You know, we have some of the most creative Asian food period coming from chefs that are blending cultures, you know, kimchi tacos or, you know, non-Asians making very authentic, archival, traditional Northern Thai food. So it's a hugely exciting time to be exploring our food culture.
And I feel that generally Asian food could be a little intimidating. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about, you know, these funky fermented foods.
Yes.
And kimchi. Does Lucky Rice, in their efforts, try to overcome that and make it a little bit more accessible for people and break down some of those intimidation barriers?
Yeah, I mean, I think we definitely do. And we also try to expose people to other foods. And so at our festivals, we'll bring chefs from lots of different backgrounds. So, you know, we have French chefs, we have Italian chefs, of course, we have Asian chefs. And all of them are introducing Asian ingredients through their food and their cocktails. And so it's really a learning process. And I think everybody who comes to one of our festivals walks away saying, oh, well, I've never had kefir lime, or I've never had it used in this way. And that's part of the fun of it.
And you mentioned non-Asian chefs, and I'm thinking more about the demographic of people who come to your mm-hmm. events. Did it start off one way, and is it like more Asians kind of coming in, or now is it kind of opening up to more diversity?
You know, it was always intended to be something that would allow me to bring my heritage. Mm-hmm. I'm Chinese to America, and along the way, I'm learning about other Asian cultures. So I was never really targeting the Asian community or mm-hmm. the Asian immigrant community or the Asian American community, although, of course, I love them and they're there. But from the beginning, it's always been just the very global-minded, worldly foodies, people who like to eat and who likes to explore culture through food, who've been a part of the audience.
And so now tell me a little bit more about what people can expect from Lucky Rice if they come to one of your mm-hmm. events, or what other initiatives do you have ongoing?
Well, our next event in New York is next Friday, March 20th. It's our Grand Feast. So it's a huge walk-around tasting where we'll have about 30 chefs and 8 bartending stations, all serving up Bombay Sapphire East and other cocktails. And so, you know, you'll find everybody from, you know, Morimoto to some younger chefs that are opening new restaurants to chefs who you would never think would be making Asian food who are giving it a go. And so it's at the Mandarin Oriental. It's a very kind of elegant event where it's, you know, tons of food, wines, drinks, beers, and just a good time.
So it's like a grand tasting in a way? Are there smaller events with partners?
It's a grand tasting. Kristen Kish will be there. She'll be doing demonstrations with our partner American Express. So if you want to come, you can see her do a demo earlier. And then the event turns into just a really elegant walk-around tasting where you'll get to taste bites of food from around all of Asia.
And you said the next event is in New York next Friday.
It's next Friday, March 20th.
And then what about the rest of the year? What's coming up in 2015?
Well, it's an exciting year, actually. So we kick it off. You know, this is the year of the ram. So yes. We just celebrated that.
Chinese New Year.
Yes. So we're in Chinese New Year. We're going on to L.A. In July, San Francisco in September, Las Vegas in October, Miami when it gets cold in New York in November, and this year we're adding Chicago as well in the fall. The date hasn't been announced.
It'll be the first year in Chicago?
It'll be our first year, okay. So we'll be in 6 markets, which is super exciting because it's fascinating how different the Asian food scene varies from city to city and coast to coast.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. So do the events themselves differ from city to city? Are there small little nuances in each place that you address?
Well, we do lots of different events in different cities, but with the grand tasting, that's something where we always bring together about 30 to 40 chefs together. But the chefs, of course, are for the most part local, and they're recommended through us through our network and our culinary council. And of course, out in the Bay Area, for instance, in San Francisco, where the population is mostly Asian, it's going to be very different from, say, Miami, which is mostly Latino, and it has, in fact, the smallest Asian American population of perhaps many cities, of most big cities in the U.S. Yet, at the same time, it's fascinating that most of their most popular restaurants are of the like of a Tao or a Hakkasan or of a Zumo or Nobu that are Asian branded, mm-hmm. if you will.
Well, and then you have, you know, chefs, you have like Mission Chinese, where you have a San Francisco outpost mm-hmm. and a New York outpost. So you have this kind of East Coast, West Coast. And I think that mm-hmm. geographic variation probably adds a layer of locality and nuance too. Like you said, Miami is going to have more of this like Latin influence, right. Kind of fusion, Asian fusion flavors.
It's really fun. And I mean, Chef Morimoto is hosting it there. And you know, there's so many shops. Like, for instance, in Nobu, he's somebody who grew up in Peru, but melds Japanese flavors with his Latin roots. I love that. You just mentioned Danny Bowen from Mission Chinese, adopted Korean. Looks Chinese, but it's not at all. But people, you know,
and has it also has all. A Mexican restaurant.
Exactly. I love that. So it really is just this unique period in time where I think it's really about culinary and cultural collisions.
Excellent. All right. Well, let's take a quick break, but stay with us. When we come back, we'll be learning more about Asian cuisine and culture with Daniel Chang of Lucky Rice.
We're proud to count the Myriad Restaurant Group as a business member of the Heritage Radio Network. Created by renowned restaurateur Drew Nearport, Myriad consists of a diverse roster of restaurants, each one unique and memorable. Delicious food, excellent service, and genuine value are at the core of Myriad's storied history. Tribeca Grill, celebrating its 25th anniversary, helped define the Tribeca neighborhood and is the perennial winner of the Wine Spectator's Grand Award. Nobu New York has innovated new-style Japanese cuisine for over 20 years, now joined by Nobu Next Door and Nobu 57, cooking Nobu's revered signature dishes. Batard, serving modern European cuisine, was named the best new restaurant of 2014 by Pete Wells in the New York Times, and similar plaudits in New York Magazine and The New Yorker, as well as earning a Michelin star. Myriad also serves up great ballpark dining at the Acela Club at Citi Field and tasty burgers at the Daily Burger at Madison Square Garden. The common thread is to be a good citizen in the communities they serve through the support of numerous charitable organizations. For more information, visit MyriadRestaurantGroup.com.
All right, we are back. I'm Brianna Kurtz, and you're listening to Native on Heritage Radio Network. And today I'm talking to Daniel Chang from Lucky Rice. So I kind of just want to pick up where we left off. We mentioned the Lucky Rice events going on all over the country. And I wanted to ask, like, how does Lucky Rice innovate year to year to year? You mentioned it's going to be your first year in Chicago. So that's kind of one example. Mm-hmm. But how do you change the events or augment or, you know, get rid of certain things, add new things in? And what drives you to those decisions?
Sure. Well, I mean, this is our fifth year, so we bring together, our sixth year, rather. Mm-hmm. So we bring together the most popular concepts. So, for instance, we'll be bringing back the Ramen Slurp Fest. I know you just spoke with our friends at Sun Noodles. We partner with them to do what we call these Ramen Slurp Fests, where chefs get together and the consumers will move from from ramen bar to ramen bar and taste different types of ramen every 13 minutes, which is the average amount of time it takes to slurp down a bowl of noodles in Japan. So, for instance, this year we did it with Ivan Orkin, with Chef Jack from Ramen Lab. We had so many great chefs come out from LA, etc. And so that was a really popular event. We're bringing it to the West Coast this year. We'll see how it works out in LA. Another great event we do is our cocktail feast, which is where we kind of turn the tables and put the chefs behind the bar. So we had, you know, Andy Ricker, who I know is on your show recently, behind the bar mixing up drinks. We've had,
and he has a whole book coming out on cocktails. So that's a comfortable space for him, I think.
Yeah. And yes, absolutely. And it's just really fun because also in the cocktail trend, there's huge crossover between food and booze, and as well with Bombay Sapphire East, which is a brand that we work with a lot. They use some Asian botanicals, Vietnamese black peppercorn, and Thai lemongrass. So, you know, I see that cocktails are actually a great lens for people to actually discover a lot of Asian flavors.
And I think what's going on in the Asian cocktail scene, I just got back from an extended trip in Asia.
I know, I want to hear all about it.
And definitely was very interested to see what mixologists were doing over there. And I brought back some ideas for some of my favorite bartenders in New York and just some of the ingredients that they have there that we might not have here that they're using in innovative ways. Really inspiring. So And I wanted to, are you going to do Slurpfest again in New York this year?
Yes,
because I couldn't get in last year and I was really upset.
Yes, no, that's always her. You have to get the tickets as soon as they go on sale. But we are doing that again in New York. That'll be in October.
Okay.
So
I will put that on my calendar now. Sign up for the mailing list. And I wanted to ask, you mentioned the demos. You'll have Christine Kish doing the demo here next Friday in New York at Lucky Rice. But are there any other interactive, participatory events that for guests who come to your events?
It's very participatory, actually, at the Grand Feast because, you know, unlike other festivals, it's really not thousands of people. It's not, you know, a feeding frenzy. It's a very, you know, elegant event where you are interacting directly with the winemakers and the bartenders and the chefs. So you'll have an opportunity to taste and ask questions and meet the chefs personally. And even with the cocktails, we have like a DIY station where you can be adding different Asian herbs, creating your own kind of version of a gin and tonic. So it's a great opportunity to learn more about Asian flavors.
And we also talked about Chinese New Year. Mm-hmm. The ram, the sheep, the lamb. I can never or the goat.
It's very confusing because it is the year of all of that.
Yes,
and they're different animals, but for some reason,
does that change your theme every year at all?
It's a fun thing, and we usually, you know, every year has a different kind of symbolism. This year for our Chinese New Year party, which we just did last week at Yunnan Kitchen, we served a lot of sheep dishes, or rather lamb dishes, which is not actually a very common ingredient in Chinese culture. You know, you'll find it in certain parts of Chinese culture, say in the north or in Mongolia or in parts of the southwest, but not in, you know, say on the coast. It's not a very popular meat.
Mm. Well, I know because goat is, I think, the most consumed meat in the world. It's just not as much here. So it's always nice when we can kind of play in that space. I wanted to ask about the Culinary Council that you mentioned.
Sure.
It's an amazing lineup of chefs that you have, that you work with. But I have, well, maybe you can tell us a little bit about what you do with the Culinary Council, what their role is. And then I want to ask you one more specific question.
Well, it's a group of chefs that we formed before Lucky Rice started, really just to kind of feedback and provide insight on what an Asian food platform might look like. And so we reached out to a group of chefs, Asian chefs like David Chang, Morimoto, Nita Lowe, who obviously have a heritage of Asian food in their blood, as well as chefs like Danielle Boulud and Jean-Georges Van Richten, who, though not Asian, have added so much to how Asian food is perceived in the U.S. and really globally with their restaurants in Singapore and Beijing and elsewhere. And so together, they host our events, they participate, and they recommend new chefs. That's something that I really am excited to move forwards as well. You know, these are great chefs, and I am so highly, highly indebted to many of them, especially somebody like Danielle Boulud for just supporting us so much in the beginning. And now, you know, I really want to use the platform to find new voices for new emerging chefs.
Is there anyone right out there right now that is really piqued your interest that you're super excited about? There's so many, I know, and it's hard to pick one, but just maybe one that jumps out at you, whether it's in New York, LA, Chicago, Miami.
You know, it's there's so many. I'm really intrigued by what's going on in San Francisco and in LA. There are just so many, I think there's so many entrepreneurs out there that are able to pop up in restaurants, try new things, and really hard to just name them. I'd be sitting here for hours.
Well, it is kind of interesting to see chefs kind of take on that entrepreneurial spirit and innovate and just not be that traditional, like I'm a chef in a kitchen, kind of pumping out, you know, classic food, but really pushing the boundaries. Last question on the Culinary Council, though. We mentioned Anita Lowe.
Yes.
And just correct me if I'm wrong, though, but Is she the only woman on the Culinary Council?
She is.
Okay, so let's talk
about
that.
Can you help me change that?
I would love to, but I want to know more about why that is. Why do you think that, and this isn't just on, you know, with Lucky Rice. In general, if you look at the landscape of female chefs cooking Asian cuisine, it's very, very low. And why do you think that is?
It's a very good question, and I'd like to ask that about lots of different industries, mm-hmm. not just the food industry at the top. There's certainly lots of women in kitchens. Predominantly in Asia, there are women in kitchens. And I think it's changing. There are some women that I highly admire who are leading restaurants. Saipan Chutima, Lotus of Siam in Las Vegas, probably the best, you know, Thai restaurant. Strong woman who's running her own kitchen with her daughters now. There's chefs like Hong Tai Ming here in New York with Nam who are changing that. Those are two examples of Asian women. But beyond that, you know, there's a lot more female chefs that are being recognized today, and that's great to see. But we absolutely have a long way to go.
Yeah. Do you think moving forward that will continue to improve?
I hope so. I mean, I think it's a shame that we don't have more women representation. And if anybody has ideas on how we can change that, please let me know.
You heard it here. Reach out to Lucky Rice.
Yes.
And I wanted to ask about, in a similar vein, you mentioned Hakkasan, you mentioned Nobu, mm-hmm. kind of these like higher end,
sure.
extremely prestigious, fabulous restaurants
right.
with fabulous chefs. But how does Lucky Rice kind of honor the more... primitive in the best sense, but, you know, the smaller kind of like mom and pop traditional Asian restaurant?
Well, we'll bring them on board. Andy Yang, formerly of Rom Tam, he's opening a new restaurant. He'll be at the Grand Feast. And I don't have the map in my head right now, but, you know, we'll put him next to somebody like a Hakkasan. Mm-hmm. So there is really no hierarchy there. It's really about bringing great food to this atmosphere. You know, everybody has the same table. And so it's that I think is really exciting. You know, I mean, some of these more larger chains will serve more traditional foods. You know, they might serve you a dumpling, but it'll be a delicious one, you know. And then from Andy, you never know what to expect, but it, you know, might be a new version of a larb that he's been working on.
Sounds delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do follow you on social media, whether it's Instagram or Twitter or whatever else
Thank you.
And you are all over the place, and it looks like you have a million exciting things going on. So what other projects do you have going on right now that we can look forward to in the future?
I'm super excited about launching my first TV series that I'm producing and hosting. It's going to debut nationally on PBS this May. It will be premiering as the closing night event of the CAM Festival in San Francisco next Sunday, March 22nd. So if you're in the Bay Area, please join us. It'll be in Oakland, and we'll be sharing several episodes. And it's co-produced with Bruce Seidel and CAM, which is the Center for Asian American Media. It's called Lucky Chow. Really, we follow Asian culture through food across America. So it's not like, you know, these Asian cooking shows that will take you down the streets of Vietnam where you can see the spikes and smell the pho, which is so exciting. But, you know, we'll go into LA's Koreatown where you can see where the Latino and the Korean populations have birthed things like a kimchi taco. You know, we'll meet Andy Ricker and Saipan Chutima, and we'll see this duo prepare dinner together. And I'm super excited about the show, of course. We'll go to Silicon Valley. We'll go to Google and see how they feed their Asian immigrant employees. So tune in. Check your local stations. Come to our premiere next Sunday at New Parkway in Oakland. And then also just turned in the manuscript for my first book, which is Lucky Rice. It's will be published later this year and next year by Clarkson Potter. And it's just a collection of stories about Asian food and recipes.
So exciting. Congratulations on both. Those are both great projects that we look forward to. Hopefully you'll come back and tell us all about them.
I would love to.
And well, thank you so much for being with me today. We're about out of time and I'm going to go look for some kimchi tacos now because you're making me really hungry.
Well, I'm going to order some Roberta's pizza.
Deal. All right. Well, that's all for Native today. Next week, I will be joined by Graham Holiday to talk about his new book, Eating Vietnam. I am so excited. Be sure to tune in live right here every Thursday morning at 11 a.m.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.